Great. Good afternoon. Okay. Takes a while to register. That's all right. It is. What a great day. Thank you. It's great to see so many of you. I'm also excited to talk and to spend a bit of time with you thinking through partnership in making young disciples, parents, and the church children's youth work. I'm going to pray. And then I'll ask you a question, and then there'll be a little bit of me talking, and then a point, he says, get my phone, probably. Fuzzy, can you time me for 30 minutes? And at 30 minutes, make the alarm go up. No, don't. I need to hear the official alarm, not you going, enough, Ashra, sit down. But if you do 30 minutes, because I really want to give people 20 minutes to discuss and a chance to feedback. Otherwise, I'll just... If you have no questions, I'll just carry on going. But, yeah, from now, it'll be great. Let's pray, and I'll introduce myself afterwards. Gracious Lord, we thank you that as we come together, you've given us this wonderful gift of raising the next generation, raising this generation, to know and love you. Thank you for the gift of youth workers, children's workers, for volunteers. Thank you for the gift of those who've gone into full-time ministry. We thank you for the gift of godly grandparents and godparents. And we ask that you would challenge us all now, particularly to think how we can work in partnership to raise up a generation that know you and love you passionately. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I've got a first question, partly because this is slightly two-sided. Put your hands up if you are a youth worker, i.e. professional youth worker, paid full-time post, 1, 2, 3, brilliant. Put your hand up if you come here as a parent, under the kind of parent bracket, 1, okay. There's a lot of you who haven't come. If you're involved in youth and children's work, put your hands up. Brilliant. That's really helpful just to gauge who we've got. So there's lots of people that I want to consider in this. And when we get to the question time, there'll be lots of questions. And I'm hoping that parents, there's lots more parents than just the two of us, but that there's lots of parents and the wisdom we can bring and the questions that we can bring as well as talking about youth work and children's work. Firstly, I wanted to say, well, what is making mature young disciples? What does it look like? Okay, and I'm very wary, I don't want to take all my time giving you a biblical exposition of this. This is a preach and a half or a whole day's conference. But turn with me to Colossians 1:28. If you've got your notes, it's there. And I'm hoping everybody's got one of these notes as well. So if you don't have a Bible, you can use the piece of paper. That's right, you can use your piece of paper and you can read it. There should be a piece of paper going around with notes for this afternoon. That'd be helpful. So Colossians 1:28. I spoke to the youth worker. Oh, sorry, my name's Mark Ashworth. I am... I used to be a youth and children's worker. I am a dad of 3 children, 13, 10, and that one, 6. I oversee the youth and children's work at Bible by the Beach. Talk to me about that as well. And I'm now a curate. I was a teacher. You don't want to hear anymore. But so that's the kind of experience I'm bringing an understanding of, as in having been a youth and children's worker, having been in education, having been working for a church for 11 years, then also to become a parent, and now to be a curate and see and come alongside a youth worker and a team in Crowborough. Good. Just on the button, I'll pay you later. So anyway, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1:28. So I asked our youth worker, so what is the Bible passage that basically sums up your youth and children's work? What do you want for the young people? And he came up with this Bible passage. Great passage. Colossians 1:28 says this. We proclaim, or him we proclaim, it is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he so powerfully inspires within me. I wanted to say, first of all, any youth and children's work that's worth its salt, any kind of parenting that has a spiritual passion and desire will be primarily Jesus-focused. On your little piece of paper, I'll put a little gap. If you want to put... But you can work this out in your own time. But I want it to be Jesus-focused. It needs to be Jesus-focused. And actually, youth and children's work must always check itself that we are Jesus-focused and not me-focused and not fun-focused and not some other distraction-focused. It must, first and foremost, be Jesus. But I'm saying that, therefore, doesn't need to be not fun and not engaging and not, it's not an excuse. So first of all, it needs to be him whom we proclaim, Jesus focused. Secondly, what does it involve? It involves teaching and warning, or warning and teaching. Doesn't matter which way you put them around. But actually, they're two sides of the coin. Teaching is the positive instruction, but proactively. Warning is almost kind of negative. And I think we need to do that as well in our youth and children's work. We need to do that in our Sunday schools. We need to do that as parents. And if we get the two out of balance, it's dangerous, isn't it? To just teach but never warn, or just to warn and never teach, you end up with a damaged relationship. And often closed ears, and they won't be interested to hear. Lastly, next one. It is a process of maturity, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Our desire is maturity in Christ. And maturity isn't an instant download. It's not a matrix kind of, I need to fly a helicopter, here's the download. It is a process. It is a growth. It is slow and takes effort and energy. Verse 29, for this I toil and struggle with all the energy. You can feel him as he says this. Oh, blimey, I've been used to children's work, and sometimes I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall. I keep spending time with them, praying for them, talking to them, encouraging them. Time after time, these little toddlers come in, and every time you ask them, they always never seem to be growing. It's that frustration that we have, that toil, that effort. It does take effort to grow and to mature and to be involved in that process. Talk to any teacher and they will tell you how exhausting it is. But the great news is that we're not working with our own strength or in our own power, but we're working with the energy that he so powerfully inspires within me. It's actually God's work in us and through us. And so it's really, really important to realise that it's God at work in us and through us. And so when things don't go as planned, might be just we're inept or haven't planned enough or this, that and the other. But actually, the end of the day, God is the one who amazingly chooses to work in us and through us. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that encouraging? Because at the end of the day, Mark Ashworth cannot transform the lives of any child. It's God. I can transform the lives of some children, but for the kingdom, I can't. So, I want you to remember, first of all, it's Jesus-focused. It involves teaching and warning, positive and negative. It is a process of maturity and doesn't happen instantly. It takes effort, but ultimately is God facilitated, initiated, and resourced. It is his energy that is within us. So as I speak about a little bit later on, the human side of how, please hear me now, the foundation is because actually it's God at work in us and through us. But he's chosen to do that, and that's great news. I want to, first of all, show you a couple of pictures. Does anybody know what this is? Has anybody heard me give this talk before? Does anybody know what these are? I could have started here. I have in the past. Josiah, do you know what these are?
Eyes.
They're eyes. They could be eyes. They're not eyes. This is actually me and my unicycle. but I didn't bring it today. But this is a bicycle. And I wanted to use the illustration of a bicycle. How do we mature or grow people to ride a bike? How do we do that? Do we just give them a bike and go, here you are? Do we do that? Of course we don't. Let me tell you what we do, and I'm going to suggest that this is actually a helpful way for us to grow into mature Christians, or at least for us to come alongside and help others. Stage one is the picture that you've seen, and that young lad behind me. Stage one, I believe, is this. Is to model riding a bike. If I want my child to ride a bike, I'd model it, would I not? And whatever I'm modelling, actually, they'll grow to see and understand. And there's a book that's just come out at the moment. It's called Almost Christian. And it's looking at the church in North America and saying how we have raised up a generation of children who look at the Christians of today and we've sold them short of the gospel, basically. Therapeutic moralistic deists. That's what the book says. Therapeutic, it's all about being a Christian is all good for you. Moralistic, what's right and what's wrong. And deists, because God is detached. And the book basically goes through and talks through, and convincingly, I think, talks about how we have not been modelling true Christianity that is sacrificial, that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, this. Have you seen one of these wonderful contraptions? You seen one of those? The little extensions that you can have? Some people put the seat up here, but it doesn't really matter. What you do is then you carry the child with you, do you not? You ask them to join you. And to play a part in your journey. What's the next thing that you do? Well, you then have one of these. There you go, you've got cotton on. What's one of these? Stabilisers. Brilliant. A bike with stabilisers. You then ask them to exercise their faith in a way that grows them. Stable. You come alongside them, you encourage them, but actually you give them stabilisers. And then what do you do? Here you go. What do? Buy them a car. No. If you want them to cycle, you don't do that. Well, at some point you can do. Very good. You cycle side by side. Does that not make sense? So you cycle side by side with them, pushing them along at various points when it gets tough. There you go. I find it quite difficult to draw a picture sideways on. And then eventually, what do you get? Brilliant. Is that right? Is that where we should finish? No, where should we finish? Brilliant, the answer is here. Oops. Because we want to raise a generation that raises a generation that raises a generation that raises a generation. Now take that as our model. This is just riding a bike, how simple is that? But do we do this in our ministry? Do we do this in our ministry to grow to maturity if we're travelling in this direction? Do we model Christianity? And I think that's first. Secondly, do we invite our children, families and people who are young in their faith? I'm not talking about children now, but actually other people. Do we ask them to come and join us? Then do we give them an exercise of faith? Might be from praying for yourself or reading your own Bible or doing those kind of things. Do we exercise faith and give them a chance to cycle, and also to fall. We probably give them a crash helmet, or they hopefully would have given them a crash helmet in the beginning. But we should do that as well in a Christian sense. And then we have this time, we partner in the gospel, pushing them along. And then eventually we let them loose, give them responsibility, and also then our passion is to see them do the same for others. Can you see how that picture, that illustration, that... Is it a bit hot? Yeah, do. No. It's going to get hotter as I speak more and more hot air. But can you see how I find that really helpful? And I'm going to come back to that in a short while. So the question is this. If that's what we're trying to do with all God's work, whose responsibility is it? Parents or youth workers? Whose responsibility is it? Brilliant. You've heard me before. But actually, it's true, isn't it? Since the 1780s, we've had Sunday schools. And Sunday schools were developed because children were not getting education. They were going straight into the workplace. Today, we use Sunday schools and see Sunday schools as the main place whereby we nurture the faith of children, spiritually, particularly. And then we cottoned on to the fact that youth workers would be great and children's workers would be fantastic. So why don't we have them? Because actually they will then take on the responsibility. And then increasingly we've realised that actually parents are really key as well. So actually let's take back as parents the responsibility of raising children. And then we've realised that families ministers are quite a good idea as well. And I think what we've done over time is sadly we've passed the ball one to each other and asked us to play on our own. Instead of going, actually, why don't we play together? Why don't we grow together? The primary responsibility, and this is what I think biblically it is the primary responsibility is for parents. And youth workers and children's workers need to remember that. But actually, I don't think the lone responsibility should be parents at all. I was going to depress you with a bunch of statistics. I don't think I need to. But the bottom line is that actually, youth and children's work has been stemming the tide of what was supposed to be a decade of evangelism, but ever since then has been a dive in reaching children. And particularly 1,000 children a week in the 1990s, they ended up not going to church. 1,000 children a week in England in the 1990s, 1,000 children a week less. Every week there was 1,000 less children going to church. But what they've said is more worrying is that 1.1 million children were at church and have been lost. Or at least that's the potential the statisticians are working on for 2020. Between 1990 and 2020, they reckon that 1.1 million children were going to church, now no longer are going to church. We know that parents, Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, don't need to look it up again, I've just put those Bible passages there for you either to fill in now or come back to later. Proverbs 22 6 says, we must train children in the right way and when we're old they will not stray. But we're told in Proverbs 23 that actually it's going to be a wrestle and it's going to be a heartache, it's going to be tough, it's going to involve pleading and urging, etc. So primarily, I think we need to remember that it is very, very key that parents are equipped and facilitated and encouraged to take a good role, a primary role. Kent Hughes said this. He said, parenting can be the place of greatest influence today, above politics, the classroom, and even the pulpit. But I think in order for us to grow healthy families and nurture the next generation, we as a church need to be a healthy family. So that means that we as a whole church, not just as children's workers, volunteers, professionals, or, you know, ministers, we need to all play our part in raising the next generation. Tell you a quick story. I had a neighbour when I was in North London, dad didn't ride a bike, basically hadn't got a bike, couldn't ride a bike. So what did I do? I said, well, does she want to come to school with us? Oh, yeah, she's got a new bike. I thought, that's great. Does she want to cycle with us to school? I took my sons, and I said, would she like to come? And she did. It wasn't very hilly, but there was a bit of an incline to the school that they went to. And what I did is I cycled alongside her, bike's much smaller, and I spent most of my time pushing her up the hill. But I think we can do that, and that's what I think youth workers and children's workers do for other people's children, especially for me. Why? Because I don't have parents that are Christians. My dad plays rugby, and he's a lovely guy, amazing. But he wouldn't be able to spiritually nurture me in any way, shape or form. And my mum took me to church, which is great. And so I think we need to be thinking how we can be that encouragement and come alongside other people. So it's really, really important. I've then given you a list. It says, how long are we doing with time? We've done 20 minutes, 15 minutes. 11 minutes left, so there you go, 20 minutes. So, what I've then done is this, I've put Bible verses down there, and I want to convince you that, actually, it is really important that everybody plays a part, and it's biblical that it's not just parents. I think you could quite easily, and I'm sure you know, that actually parenting is primary. But, 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 3, who's there, and what role do they play in the nurture of another? I'll give you a clue. It is Samuel. Who nurtures Samuel? Come on, your Bible knowledge. Eli. Brilliant. So Eli in 1 Samuel acts as a spiritual mentor. And someone, it's the vicar, basically, I guess, or curate, or whoever you want to say. Proverbs 1:8. Let me read this. Hear, my child, your father's instructions, and do not reject your mother's teaching. So whose responsibility is it? According to Proverbs 1:8. Father and mother. Did you hear the father part? Father and mother, both responsible. Obviously, if Christian parents. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. Do you remember Deuteronomy 6? Hear, O Israel. The Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And then what are you to do? Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you rise. Okay, I think this is primarily for parents, but is it exclusively for parents? Who is it addressed to?
The people of God.
The people of God. So I think this convinces me that it is parents, but actually I think as the people of God, it's our responsibility to be involved in teaching and training and fulfilling what is a commandment. Not just because the stats basically are going down and we're worried about our church in 5-10 years' time. Actually, this is a command that God says that we should be investing in our children and young people and that we all need to be doing it. All right, talk to me. Timothy. Who mentored Timothy? Paul. Brilliant. Was it
Grandmother and mother.
So, not just parent, but grandparent, and he had a mentor too. What about Titus?
Older women.
Brilliant. Yeah. And even Titus himself was, we don't know whether he was a bishop or an elder or this, that, the other, but certainly there's responsibility there as well for oversight. Acts 18, who does Priscilla and Aquila come alongside? They come across Paulus, yeah. And so who are they? Well, they're not relatives, but they're like home group leaders or someone who's been given responsibility to kind of go, we need to straighten this guy's teaching out and then release him because he clearly has a gift. And then also I've mentioned down here, what about in Acts 15? We haven't got time to look at it. Do you know what happened in Acts 15? You start with Paul and Barnabas. Then what happens? Paul and Barnabas, they kick off. All over who? Who abandoned Paul earlier on and he was not a happy bunny? A fella called John Mark. Brilliant. It was Mark causing trouble. And so one of them went in one direction. So Paul took Silas and went in one direction towards Syria. And Barnabas took John Mark and went to Cyprus. And then Paul and Silas, when he was in that direction, then brought along the apprentice, or the 938, or whatever you want to call them. Who was that? We've mentioned them already. Timothy. So can you see that actually, have I convinced you, that it's not a one-man or one-couple job? Okay? Children's workers, Sunday volunteers, full-timers, parents, please, please acknowledge it's all our responsibility. It was in the ancient Near East. I always wondered, how on earth did Jesus get lost when he went to the temple? And it's because he would have been with a big group. Doesn't say that he was, but it was cultural. That's what you did. You all journeyed together. So 3 days later, they went, I haven't seen Jesus for a couple of days. Is that normal? Well, it wouldn't be normal in this culture, day and age, would it? But in that day and age, they didn't seem too worried until after 3 days they couldn't find him. So, I want to suggest to you that actually we need to be working together. Secondly, I think the parental mole or model is key. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 basically says this. As Paul talks to the Thessalonian church, he says, "But we were gentle among you like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children." There you go. Paul and, it was a we, Paul and his merry little band were involved in the nurture of the Thessalonian church. And how was it going to happen? Well, like a mother, a nursing mother to a child. So there's the parental role model. But who's taking the role? Paul. He's not a mum in any way, shape or form, is he? But then a little bit later on, verse 11. "As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children." Paul is taking on a parental role in the spiritual nurture of this family. All right. Really, really important and really key. So I wonder whether sometimes what we do is this. Is in our youth and children's ministry and in our churches, we get to this stage, and instead of someone occasionally coming along and pushing and encouraging up the difficult hill, cycling alongside and modelling, I think sometimes, some of our youth and children's work, we grab hold of the handle, and then the parents grab hold of the handle, and we end up with a fight and a crash. Because actually, at various points, at various times and in various places, we all can play a different role, and it changes over life. So you'll find as a parent, there'll come a teenage time when actually you're ever so grateful that the youth worker's cycling alongside in faith with your young person. But you'll find that you probably didn't need them slightly earlier on in life. And you might not need them a bit later on, depending on how your relationship develops and changes over time. But it's really key that we do that. I've put at the bottom of the page the feedback. I wondered whether you wanted to think through how many times we are influenced by... Well, not influenced by sleep, but as soon as you take 168 hours in a week and you then take out time for sleep, you then take out time for teachers and being at school, take out time for TV and media according to the stats today, and how much time are you left with? So we need to be working together, especially if your children don't go to a Christian school. And even if they do go to a Christian school, we need to make sure similarly that what they are hearing is the gospel and not something slightly distorted. Stats, here we go. Let me just say. So, percentage of time asleep, 84 hours. Time for teachers, 30 hours in school a week. TV and media, according to the recent research I've just found, which was according to a BBC education website recently, it says 2.5 hours a day... for TV, no, for computers, and 1.75 hours for computer games, or the other way around. Is that right? Yeah, so TV, 2.5 hours a day, children are generally spending, and for computers, it's 1 3/4 hours. And you suddenly kind of realise, now you've just taken out a huge... Who's influencing your children today? That's another seminar talking about media. You missed it. It was this morning. But so what does that leave for parents? And you don't need to do the maths, but you realise that it's not much. So we need to make sure and be really, really key in how we spend our time with our children and how we work together, not against each other. Right, I'm guessing I've got 5 minutes. Two. I've got 5 minutes. That's good, really helpful. Let me just go through what I'm going to suggest to you is this. Is these are now, how does the youth worker and how do parents work together? And I'm going to suggest to you ways that either I've actually thought of and have done, or ways in which I'm working through at the moment. So number one, communication. This is where I've got the table on the other side. You've got to keep up, sorry young man. It's like an exam. No, it's not. Number one is communication. Parents are put two groups, parents and church team. just because I think it would help for us to think about these things. Number one, parents, talk to and pray for and love the children. Sorry, not the children, the youth and the church team. Do you encourage your parents to talk to you? Or does the minister at the front, or whoever it is, do they encourage you in preaching and other bits of office to encourage you to talk to you, to pray for you, and to love you? Not just because you look after Johnny, or Madeline, or whoever it is, but actually to love you. Because that would be a massive encouragement. And church team, do you talk to and pray for and love the whole family? Not just little Johnny or Madeline. So first thing is this, is we need to love one another, pray for one another, not because we're fulfilling filling a function for me. It's not because, because you do something for me, I'm going to thank God. No, I'm going to pray for you because I know that actually your spiritual well-being will influence my child because we're in partnership together. Secondly, communication too. Communicate with the team about struggles, etc. Now, I've only been at Crowborough for a short period of time. And actually, I'm ever so thankful for one of the parents that came up and said, there's a whole group of kids, boys particularly, who are in year six. I went, brilliant, praise God. Finished the sentence. But they're not going to the youth group next year. I went, what? Because there's football. They're already plugged into football. And then they won't be coming to youth group next year. And I'm there kind of going, I'm ever so grateful that you spoke to me. We need to have a chat. And I then spoke to the youth worker and we talked about it. He'd already been talking about what day, if there was a better day and all that kind of business. And we're now going to move the youth group so that by the time they get old enough, well, it'd be the most natural thing for them to go to the youth group. Why wouldn't they? But that never would have happened if I hadn't spoken to one of the parents. If they hadn't been frank enough to say, look, there's a battle coming up and you're going to lose. So think about a way of working together a bit more. So, secondly, that's for the parent side of things. So as a church team, work with parents. Tell parents, do not rely on the children, what you're doing and why.